Good morning, and blessed be the name of Jesus. What a joy, what a grace to have, what a peace that comes only from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is our peace, He is the Prince of Peace, He is our help, and so we rejoice. This morning, I invite you to go through the book of Philippians, chapter number 1, from verses 12 all the way to verses 30. Now, I want to really bring something that would open the eye of your understanding. This book of Philippians is a book of joy. Is a book of thank you. Is a book filled with joy. Is a why? The joy of the Lord. The joy of service. The joy of receiving help. It's a book of Paul writing and saying thank you. Because you also supported me. You also helped me. You have also come in to my aid. The Lord has put in you to come and support me. You will discover that the way this letter was opened, when you read the book of Acts chapter 16, it was opened as a result of a cry. The Philippians cried for help. It is called the Macedonian call. Do you remember Paul, while he was in Galatia, trying to preach the gospel, the Spirit of Jesus forbade him to preach in any way in the place of Galatia. He tried to go in another city in Galatia, but the Spirit of Jesus stopped him. And when he retired at night, of course, to pray and ask Jesus, what is it you want me to do? Jesus sent a vision. And Paul saw a man from Macedonia standing up and beckoning and saying, come, Paul, to us and help us. Now, I want you never to lose that call. Is a call of panic, is a call to help. Remember, you're asking yourself, why is a man asking Paul to come and help? Could it there be a man, little man, or a male, or a man in a sense that for humanity? We do not know. But if we take that it is a male that was helping, was calling for help, you'd ask, why would a male man ask for help? One thing, I want to take you quickly to the place or to the city of Philippians. Well, Paul finally concluded that God is calling them to Macedonia. He started off and landed in the city of Philippi. Well, he got there in the city of Philippi. He did not get a temple or a synagogue. Listen to this. In Jewish culture, everywhere there were about 8 male Jews, every city they went, and there were about 8, they would start a synagogue. What does this tell you? When Paul was there, we find Paul going to look for a place of prayer by the riverside. Why was he going there? Because we did not have more than 8. We did not have 8 born again or 8 Jewish believers. They were there, but they had already probably been swallowed by the culture of the place. You know, when Jews would go, they would go there as a people, as a missionary of God. Sometimes they would go there and even become an obstruction to the people they go. Or sometimes they were swallowed. So for some reason, we did not have male coming together. That is probably one of the reason why they were calling for help, because they could not get enough number, 8, to come together and worship God. Number two, when Paul was preaching, he only found women. In fact, he found women leading and the team. That means he identified himself with women. And that's very good. On one hand, that Paul had women in heart. I have heard people say that Paul did not love women. That's not true. Paul loved women. And they became ministers and co-ministers together with him. But too, when Paul was going to for prayer, we found a young girl that was bound by the spirit of sorcery, you know, the spirit of tearing fortune. But this girl was being used by men. Look at where men were. Men were actually abusing young girls to be used of the devil. Can you imagine men using small girls so that they can use her as a means of getting money in a demonic way? A girl is bound by Satan, and men are happy because they are getting money from her. That's what men were doing. Can you imagine girls were bound by the spirit of sorcery, spirit of witchcraft, the spirit of fortune telling by men? Now, this is not good. And immediately, Paul healed the girl. And what happened? The man rose against Paul. The magistrate, can you imagine, was supposed to uphold law. The rule of law is the one who started the law of Django, fighting Paul and asking that people beat Paul in the public square. Can you imagine that's what men were doing? They will not keep law, even if they were in the place of law. No wonder they were asking for help. Can you imagine Paul was taken to prison? Who did he fight there? Men. Prison full of men. That means most of men were prisoners, as we can see here. When I say most, now, in as far as where Paul would fight, encounter men, he encountered them in prison. While he was praising and worshiping at the middle of the night because of the joy of the Lord in problem, what was happening? Men were listening. And at the middle of the night, the Spirit of God opened the doors of prison, and Paul got born. And what happened? The jailer wanted to kill himself, another man. Paul says, "We are here, don't kill yourself." And he called for light, and he and himself gave his life to Jesus. Of course, asked Paul to come to his home. He was born again, and he was baptized at night. And of course, those men did not run away. Why didn't they run away? The door was open for them to run away. Probably it means that they were captured by the power of God. Nobody ran away. Paul said, "We are here." It means that they could not run away, because maybe the Lord had already captured them. It means that it was a place where men were bound by the spirit of the devil. And so they were calling for help. So while Paul landed in that city, he went to help them. And so the question I want us to ask now, that Paul went there, opened the church, left them to Thessalonica, and finally found himself in prison in Rome, where he's writing this letter. I've jumped many things. As he writes this letter, it is a letter when he was in prison, this church became great supporters of Paul, great help to Paul. You see, Paul helped them. Now they became helpers of Paul, because help attracts help. Kindness begets kindness. Now they are sending help to Paul because they feel that Paul really helped them when they beckoned to Jesus, when they called Jesus and Jesus sent Paul to them. And so Paul is now writing to them with a lot of joy. And he says, thank you. So thank you because you have sent help to me. They had sent a man called their own, called Epaphroditus, and say, thank you that you have helped me. Now, I want to say this, especially in this chapter, chapter 1, we began by looking at Paul says, thank you for helping me. But now here in chapter 1, verses 12, we are looking for Paul now telling them that for them to receive or to maintain the help the Lord sent, because the Lord sent help through Paul. But now when help comes, helps come from the Lord, because where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord. The psalmist states, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven on earth. When help come, are you ready to receive help? So the letters of Philippi, to the Philippi church, or to the Philippian church, is God has sent you help. Are you responding by receiving help? So it's about receiving help. And so Paul is giving us four attitudes that every one of us should have so that you can be able to receive help from God. The first attitude is that you must have a surrendered mind to receive the help and maintain the help of God. Surrendered attitude. And let's see what he talked about, this surrendered attitude. He began by saying, thank you because of helping me. But for you to have this surrendered mind, he says, now I want you to know. He wants them to know about for a few things. Brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Look at what he's saying. I have already a surrendered mind. And what has happened to me here in prison, now he gets to him as an example, is it has helped to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole parish, God, and to everyone else that I'm in chain for Christ. And because of my chain, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Paul is saying that I have received help also from the Lord. And my attitude is to receive help is that of surrendered to Jesus. And my chain has been advanced the gospel. And he says, first, to those in prison. You see, Paul was chained to soldiers. Four soldiers, after every 2 hours, soldiers would be chained. Two chains, two soldiers, one on this side and another on this side. And so, can you imagine that every day Paul was ministering to 8 soldiers for all the year, for more than a year, while Paul was in prison? Can you imagine how those chains made all those soldiers who were captives to receive the gospel? So Paul says, my chains has been used by Christ to make the palace guards, the soldiers, to receive the gospel. Not only that, brothers and sisters have become bold to speak because of my chains. Brothers has become so bold. Not only guards, even brothers and sisters, they dare to speak, and they are confident of the Lord to proclaim the gospel without fear because of my chain. And so I rejoice because of that. It is true that some people preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, and others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chain. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. He also said, I'm rejoicing because people are preaching the gospel from wrong motives and right motives. But whether for wrong motives and right motive, Jesus is preached. And so I rejoice. Can you see whether how a surrendered mind can make you rejoice for whatever reason? People can't do anything. People can hurt you. People cannot hurt you if you have a surrendered mind to the will of God. What a great thing to have a surrendered will, mind to the will of God. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayer and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus, what has happened to me will turn out to be for my deliverance. Paul says, I eagerly expect that and hope that I will no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Now, this Paul is saying that I'm surrendered to the will of God. And he says, this is my attitude. I will never be ashamed because of anything. When whatever will happen to me, it will happen for my deliverance. Through your prayer and the provision of the Spirit of God, it will come to pass that I will be delivered from those chains. It will be good for me. It will turn good for me. And Christ shall be exalted in my body, whether I'm in prison, whether I'm in chain, whether in life or in death. What an attitude that this man is saying, I have surrendered to the will of God. And then he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. This is the statement of surrender. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So he is saying, whether I die, I will gain. I live, and for me to live is Christ. If I go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for me that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that through my being with you again and again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound and account on account of me. So I rejoice, and that's my attitude. So what should be your attitude then, so that you can receive this help? Or you can maintain the help of Christ in a prison, in problem you go through. Whatever happens, this is the attitude. Live worthy of the gospel. Conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come to you or only hear about you in my absence, I'll know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it is has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now here I'm still going through. So Paul is saying, I have an attitude of surrender. May you have and develop an attitude of surrender so that you can appropriate the help that has been sent to you. May you have that spirit, because help will be maintained in you as you surrender to Jesus Christ and to his will. Paul had a surrendered will, whether in life or with death. Father, give us the spirit of surrender to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.